BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it just part of the business that the Seattle Mariners, other sports teams, kind of just make whoever the manager is or whoever the coach is a scapegoat? GMs buy themselves a little more time, fire the coach. We need a new voice in the clubhouse. When the truth is, there's a systemic issue. It's a roster issue that dates back to last season. I don't think that the Mariners are going to strike out less because Scott Servais is unemployed. I don't think they have the players. I don't think they have the lineup. They got the pitching rotation. Like, I get it. It happens. Steven, you worked for the Blazers. You know sports. Is it just part of the gig when you become a coach or a manager that you accept that, hey, if the roster's broken and I can't do anything about it, I'm gonna get flushed. I'm gonna get thrown out before the GM gets thrown out.
In professional sports, yeah. And I think we may be getting to that point in college sports as well with all the money going on. But when the players are making more than the managers or the coaches, the managers and coaches are going to get the blame for it. It's not going to be the $25 million a year guy that's hitting 220 at the plate. It's going to be the manager who makes less money, and it's an easier move to get rid of him rather than to get rid of a high-priced guy that's not living up to expectations. I do think, though, also that in sports, especially on the highest of levels, people's voices do get tuned out. And when you've heard the same voice over and over for so long, Scott Servais has been the manager for 9 years, it may get dull. And it's not as if, like, now they fired him, guys are going to hit better. But it's now just a different atmosphere. Maybe they are a little more excited to come to the ballpark, and maybe that turns into a hit here or a hit there. I do think it was the right decision. I think that this kind of, especially in the world we're in now, these changes have to happen. Like, coaches, I feel like staying in the same spot just isn't going to work anymore. With people, the younger people these days, they want change. They want things right away. They want the results. I do think that it's the right choice to get rid of Scott Servais, and I think that it actually may help. It's not going to make it so they're going to make the playoffs, but I think it may bring a little more energy to the team a little bit.
It brings some energy, and maybe we find out that he wasn't well liked or whatever, but I don't know if Dan Wilson is, he's inheriting a job, or he may be doomed. Isn't Jerry DePoto the problem? I don't know. We shall see. Mariners expected to make more changes beyond firing Scott Servais. Does that mean DePoto's going too? I don't know. We shall find out, because we know this: owners don't fire themselves. That brings us, of course, to the 5 at 5. Five big stories. Let's go.
The 5 at 5. Number one.
Well, let's start there. John, Scott Servais officially fired by the Seattle Mariners after losing to the Dodgers last night. Mariners, they've lost 8 of the last 10 games. They're 5 games back in the American League West to the Astros. Now, Servais, he is second all-time in wins behind Lou Piniella as manager. He did just have the one playoff appearance in 2022 in those 9 years. But Jerry DePoto, he came out and he said that the Mariners just need a new voice. The team needs a new voice. And Mariners legend catcher Dan Wilson, he's going to take over as manager. And according to a lot of reports, not just interim manager, as the manager. And then Adam Jude of the Seattle Times reported that Scott Servais found out he was fired by social media, not by Jerry DePoto, not by a meeting with him. It was on social media. He read it this morning, hours before he had a meeting scheduled with DePoto. So sometimes it's these newses that I hear that make me feel better as a Blazer fan. And I know that it's not just the Blazers organization that messes up. It's a lot of team sports that are poorly run. So Mariners, fire Scott Servais. Don't tell him. He learns on social media.
I was looking at Servais's win percentage. It was 517. Remember when DePoto said that 54% was his goal.
Hey, that's why he's fired. You know, he couldn't get it to 54. It was 52.
52%. 51.7. You sucker. Moving on.
Number two.
Well, we reported earlier this week that Pete Carroll is coming back to be a teacher at USC. Now, Lincoln Riley has come out and said he would love any assistance that Pete Carroll can give to his football program while he's in Los Angeles. Riley told reporters that he'd love to have him and that Carroll has been great to him. We've had a chance to catch up pretty often, check in with each other. He's been a great resource, a person to be able to pick his brain. Whether it's an official role or not, he's made it very clear that we've got a good open line of communication. Now, the school did confirm that Carroll, he's going to be joining the teaching staff in the new capacity as a legendary coach and as a leader. He can share his knowledge with the students at USC. USC opens up their season September 1st against LSU in Las Vegas. USC is ranked 23rd in the AP poll.
You know, Lincoln Riley's not going to get fired, but I don't know why you said that. And I kept thinking, well, Pete Carroll would be really close. He'd be nearby if they need him.
He'd be a good little interim coach.
You know, not a bad resource to have on your campus. I want to hear more about this class he's teaching. Professor Carroll. At the front of the room, chewing gum. Hey, here's we go. Here's what we're going to do. Here's this class. Get your homework in on time. Like, I can't wait to see what he's like as a professor. Mike Leach teaching, you know, the art of warfare and pirates and all that stuff. Now Pete Carroll teaching on his campus.
Do you think we'll see Pete Carroll on the sidelines or helping out with USC program in any way?
He should. If Lincoln Riley, like, coaches weren't so insecure, I would say, you know, that's a call Lincoln Riley should have already made. But that would be a weird thing for a coach to do, and coaches get weird about other coaches showing up offering to help.
Well, especially with a guy like Carroll who's won national championships at that school.
Yeah, remember when Chip Kelly took over at Oregon? Like they go to Boise State for that very first game, and Chip's the head coach. Boise State was really good. Oregon couldn't get a first down in the first half. Mike Bellotti was in the press box watching the game. He went down to the sideline in the second half. It was weird. Like, you know, it was like, oh, you can't do that. You can't, you know, Chip's not going to want you down there. But it was like Bellotti was doing everything but putting the headset on, you know. And you got to kind of keep your distance unless you're invited in.
Number three.
Well, Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz, he will not be locked in for their opening game against Illinois State this year, as he's been suspended for the season opener as part of a school-imposed penalty for a recruiting violation in late 2022. Ferentz admitted to a Level 2 violation for contacting the player and his family prior to them entering the transfer portal. Iowa did not identify the player, but sources are saying it is quarterback Cade McNamara, who transferred to Iowa from Michigan. McNamara was in the portal for only 3 days. McNamara committed to transfer to Iowa on December 1st. He started for Michigan back in 2021 as the team won the Big Ten and reached the college football playoff, but he did suffer a season-ending leg injury in the third game of 2022. J.J. McCarthy takes over, and they win a national title last season. But apparently it's Cade McNamara that's the guy who they reached out to. And then the Miami of Ohio coach, he claims that Alabama stole their star kicker from them in the same type of way, reaching out before they actually entered the transfer portal. Is more of these stories going to come out, or is this going to be... This is kind of how everyone does it, though, isn't it, John? Like, don't these schools reach out before they find out these guys are in the portal and say, hey, if you're interested, there's a spot over here at Alabama if you want to kick for us?
100% they're reaching out. Listen to Miami of Ohio's coach.
All right, special teams, lost your kicker. Carter McLaughlin.
We didn't lose him. He's at Alabama. We know
yeah,
exactly.
I understand
we know
that.
Exactly where he's at. Like, you media people, it's all pretend. Like, no, Alabama stole our kicker.
They illegally
recruited our kicker and stole him from us. And like that's a fact. But that's kind of, but we act like it's not. We live in this la la world. Like, hey, let's not talk. Goodness. I don't know why everybody knows what's going on. So, yeah, Alabama stole our kicker. A couple other schools tried to steal it, but then what's the question?
He's spitting truth, though, isn't he?
But isn't it... Should you be suspended? So Kirk Ferentz admitted to this, but, like, is that really a suspendable offense?
It's what the schools do to avoid bigger sanctions. And Ferentz is enough to be like, hey, I'm one of the good guys. I'm just going to fall on the sword and admit I did wrong. Meanwhile, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama is saying, hey, we followed the rules. But the truth is, you know darn well they've got agents and... assistant coaches, and it's not just Alabama, it's not just Iowa. People know when they get in the portal that they've got offers, You're not just getting in the portal and going, well, let's see who calls me. No, they go, oh, you know what? I've got at least an offer to go to school X. Let's get in the portal and see if anything else develops. So I think it's happening a lot more than we know.
Number four.
Well, speaking of the transfer portal, last year, over 1,900 players in college basketball tested the portal waters. Now, this season, the portal is going to open at the end of the regular season and conference championship week, a day after Selection Sunday. That's when the transfer portal will open. It'll open on Monday, March 17th. The first four is scheduled for Monday or for Tuesday, March 18th. Transfer portal will go for 30 days also whenever a head coach leaves their program. But according to college basketball analytics expert Evan Miyakawa, for the first time in history, more than half the points that will be scored this season will be scored by players through the transfer portal, not from high school. Just the portal timing here, John, seems like a tough spot for programs that are in the tournament. You got to focus on the games, but also the portal opens on the Monday before the NCAA tournament. Like, I mean, how much time do these coaches, do they think these coaches have to be able to recruit in the portal, scout for the upcoming opponents? I mean, we got to come up with a better system than this.
I was looking at Oregon's depth chart, okay? And on football, offensive, very likely that six starters will be transfers. Defensive, seven. 13 of the 22 are going to be transfers in football. You're going to see more than that in basketball. And it's not just Oregon. It's just going to be what everybody does. You're just going to see this. But I think it's why upperclassmen who have developed in your program in basketball and in football and culture and chemistry, the development of culture and chemistry, are going to take on some new importance inside these programs. Sure, depth helps. Yes, talent helps win games. But there's just a little something extra going on out there with, like, you know, we've seen it. I think people in Portland in particular who watch the Blazers under Bob Whitsitt know that there's more to building a roster than just getting the absolute best talent, void of character and personality traits, and throwing everybody in a cauldron and saying, okay, go win games. Like, you know, there's such a thing as your roster just going sideways. And
is that a worrisome thing factor for the Oregon Ducks this season with so many transfers on that team?
I think it's important, and I think they know it. Like, when even if you watch, like, I talked to Dan Lanning at Big Ten Media Day. I've communicated with him in the offseason. If you watch their videos that they're putting out, their episodes, that team out west, it's well done stuff. But I'll tell you what jumped out at me. Defense is over in Cannon Beach, lined up on the beach, going through kind of a team building. Offense, you got Dylan Gabriel down in Southern Oregon with the receivers and the running backs. I think Dan Lanning had a retreat in Central Oregon with all of his coaches. I think they know. I think they know that they have a very short amount of time to take, you know, what is essentially a club team and get everybody on the same page and get everybody moving in the same direction and have Dylan Gabriel have chemistry with his receivers and defensive linemen chemistry with each other, with the linebackers and the defensive backs. I think that is a concern for Oregon, but I think it's a concern for everybody.
Yeah, I think Oregon and Miami are the two fascinating cases for me, because Miami has a lot of expectations, but they also have Mario Cristobal, who's a coach that not a lot of people trust in-game. Where Dan Lanning, I think people are already on the board of where we're trust this guy. We think he can win these big-time games, even though he hasn't necessarily done it yet. But there's a lot of expectations for both those schools, and they are led by all transfers. Like, Cam Ward going to Miami, you talked about Justin Herbert under the Mario Cristobal offense. He doesn't look like the Justin Herbert of the Chargers. Is Cam Ward going to be, you know, pigeonholed to that offense, or is he going to be let go and let run around a little bit and play his game?
He's going to be pigeonholed. Come on, Mario Cristobal is not changing who he is.
And that will make it so Miami may not be as good as they're supposed to be, and then the portal isn't working. It's fascinating. Miami and Oregon are two fascinating cases for me.
I still think Mario Cristobal is a fairly young, inexperienced head coach. Not talking about his age. I'm talking about the years that he has had in charge of a program. And I think he was kind of working through who he wanted to be as a coach and learning to let go a little bit. He didn't at Oregon. He didn't at Miami. You saw last year he had a horrible, embarrassing game management mistake that cost him a win. I kind of wonder if Cristobal is ready to kind of let go of the offense. He'll have to. But I saw CBS Sports had a couple of panel discussions. They were talking about Heisman candidates. It's the worst time of year to talk Heisman, okay? Nobody's played a game. But one of the panelists said he thought Cam Ward would win the Heisman. Well, and I went, no.
I was looking at the odds. Dylan Gabriel's the favorite. Cam Ward's the second favorite right now. And I thought Ward, that is insane.
He's not winning the Heisman because he's playing for Mario. Cam Ward could have a really nice season. He could be the MVP of the playoff. Like, Miami could win a lot of games. They could win the ACC. They could go and rattle around the playoff and have a great year. Cam Ward might help himself as an NFL prospect. Certainly he's making seven figures to be there. But I don't see him as a Heisman winner because he's not playing for the kind of coach that's going to put him in that position. If he's at Oregon under Will Stein with Dan Lanning as his head coach, nah, different conversation.
Number 5.
New York Islanders player Anthony Duclair, he has a new look, John. He had some really long dreadlocks on his hair, but new general manager Lou Lamoriello, he has a strict cut-and-shave rule. And so Duclair had to shave or cut his dreadlocks off, and fans are not happy about it. Duclair revealed on Instagram that he had cut his braids. He just took a picture of a big pile of braids, and he put a sad face emoji to display how he felt about it. And it can take over a year for those dreadlocks to mature, but it's been a long time or long rules for Lamoriello since 1987. Basically, he's had no facial hair or jewelry. That's the philosophy that he has. They have to wear jackets and ties on game day, and then no hair past the collar for Lamoriello. So Duclair, he did choose to sign with the Islanders in July. He got a 4-year deal worth $14 million, but it is unclear if he knew that those were the rules that the general manager had. Same with the Yankees. Can't we get rid of these rules? Like, do we have to look a certain way? It's 2024. I feel like people should be able to express themselves with their hair, with their facial hair. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, he wants young players to not wear weird numbers. But what's a weird number? It's defined by Lou himself.
Right. I feel like this is just, old man, get off my lawn here. Just let's evolve a little bit. People want to express themselves with their hair. Let's do it.
But he's a man. What he's saying is, I'm a man of rule and principle, and the little things matter. So what's the difference there between a coach that says, I want you to make your bed during training camp? You know, I guess you better know that. You better be eyes wide open, though. You got a nice beard. I could play for him. Okay, I'm not a facial hair guy. I'm not a long hair guy. I play for Lou in a heartbeat. Although I might want to wear a weird number. We shall see. Will they be allowed to do anything fun this season? You know, like
I just feel like if it's your appearance, like you can choose what you look like.
Okay, let's say you own a Starbucks, and the barista wants to, have a bunch of jewelry on and all tatted up. Wants to be Post Malone. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You're going to hire that person?
Yeah, sure. If they can do the job and they're trustworthy. Like, I'm not going to judge them just because of how they look.
What about a beard down to the floor?
Well, I'm not a beard guy, so I'd be
jealous.
Looks
like ZZ Top.
No, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I mean, when I worked at Costco, the rule used to be you couldn't have tattoos showing, but now they've changed that rule. Like, they've evolved into letting people have tattoos because so many people have tattoos now.
Now, there are some religions and cultures in which long hair or facial hair is a thing. So I just have to think in this era of professional sports, this feels like it's more out of the 1960s, 1950s, but more than anything. But the NHL has a mandatory suit and tie dress code on game days, right? Like they have a dress code in the league. So they're saying what you wear from your car to the locker room or from the bus to the arena matters, except when you're in the postseason. So in the postseason, they let it go. Does he let the facial hair thing go in the postseason?
He does, yes. That is the one thing he does do. In the postseason, he lets that go away, and he lets him do it.
It's kind of weird. Like, you're gonna have a rule.
Like, what about the Yankee guy? I'm trying to think of who it was, but he got signed by the Yankees for 5 days or traded for, and then got cut after 5 days. He had to cut his facial hair. Like, I just think that's so dumb. Like, just let him do it. And like, I don't know. like you said, it's part of people's, like, their culture and what they want to be and what they want to express themselves. I got no problem with
Yankees
that.
Yankees say that players' hair must not touch their collars. You may have a mustache, but no other facial hair.
Yeah, you got to allow people to express their cultural differences.
Do you, though? The Yankees are one of the most successful brands and franchises in history.
I think so. That's what was supposed to be what makes America great, is that we allow everybody in here and let you do what you want. And, you know, I feel like you got to express your own culture if you want to.
Let's find out. Listeners, you tell me. Dress code, facial hair, should the Islanders relax their policy? Does that matter to you, or do the little things matter? Is that a discipline and a rule thing that matters? Maybe that's the Blazers' problem. They haven't had a policy as it pertains to, hey, no facial hair, can't have long hair. I don't know.
They went opposite. They went and get all the jailblazers and bring in all the troubled guys and bring in
the headbands. But nobody mistook the headbands for halos. That was the difference. 503-417-7575. If your employer had that policy, I want to hear from you if you're bearded in particular. Do you shave the beard or do you change jobs? Let's find out what our listeners say. You tell me.